blessed. We are so blessed. And someday we have to record this, Scott, because they say they can't hear themselves, I've heard. It truly is so beautiful. And thank you all. Thank you, especially Bonnie. And where are you, Joanne? Joanne, thank you. It was just beautiful. And now we too are blessed because it's my sweet, wonderful privilege to introduce to you the speaker of today. Very often we have speakers, but not very often can I say how spiritually minded they are and how I know they walk and talk and speak and give with their highest and best. You know, when we are around people that are spiritually minded, there's like a divine essence. It's like a dance that goes back and forth. And you will feel this dance as he speaks to you. His spiritual essence that he gives that will land into your heart, into that place of that divine wisdom. He's a wonderful speaker. He's a tremendous singer and musician, and he is going to favor us with a solo during the offering, so you may be excused and you can and you can sit and enjoy it all. And so it is my great privilege to, like I say, present to you Reverend Frederick James.
Thank you, Reverend Connie. Thank you, First United Metaphysical Chapel, family, friends. It is an honor to be here. And make me feel really at home. Just say amen every now and then. I'm so used to, I'm used to preaching in a traditional setting. I am so delighted to have been invited back. This is my church family, just like the one I have where I grew up. I'm back there helping. And it's such a pleasure to work along with Reverend Connie, who is such a beautiful spirit. And she has such a good energy. And I feel good energy when I come here and everybody's always smiling. And it's a little different from traditional church because every now and then people will have complaints and they make them known before the service. So you have to kind of process that and, you know, put it to the side before you get up to speak. But we are thankful to be here. Really quickly, there's a passage of scripture that Spirit dropped on me. And as we read the metaphysical principles this morning, I was like, wow, this is so in line. And so this will be very exciting to deliver. In the chapter, the book of Luke, the 10th chapter, and I better get my glasses, make sure I'm reading this right. Sunglasses. Luke, the 10th chapter, it's a very familiar story. 10th chapter, about the 25th verse, this lawyer is asking Jesus a question. He says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said to him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' And he answering said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' And he said unto him, 'Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live.' But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' And Jesus answering said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him upon his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. I think that's as far enough. Well, no, let's keep going. And when he went to him and he bound his wound, and on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And I want to talk a little bit just about the community of self. Celebrating the community of self. When we look at this passage, there's a few things that jumped out at me. This road that Jesus was speaking about was a very dangerous road. It was between two cities, and they talked about how dangerous it was to travel that road. So when he gave this parable and talked about this dangerous road, and the first person that came along being a priest, you would have thought that he would have helped the man that was in trouble. And it kind of lended a point to something that I have found in the traditional theology, what I grew up on in the Baptist church, not giving them a black eye because there's some other theologies that kind of match that. But this priest passed by on the other side. My first question was, if the road was that dangerous, what was the priest doing on the road? And the second guy was a Levite, and the Levite's job was to assist the priest. So the priest and his assistant both were traveling on a dangerous road. And jokingly, I told some of my colleagues, I said, I believe that the priest and his assistant are the ones that beat the man up. And when we look at it in traditional theology versus what we know now that we've come into this new light, they do, in a way, rob us of certain things, certain qualities, certain beliefs that are key to our success. I grew up listening to, you are a sinner. You are born in sin and shaped in iniquity, headed for hell, you know, unless you get saved and come over here. And I'm thinking that the priest, it was almost like the church saying, you're over there, and if you want to be saved, you got to come over here. And that tragedy takes place every week from pulpits. People are being told that they're going to hell, that they're not good enough, that you got to do this, you got to, you know, you got to be saved, and that you're born into it. I always ask the question, how is a baby a sinner? They haven't done anything yet. Then they can't even talk. So how did this child become so demonized? And so when I compared it to this story, that's where I got the idea that the priest and his assistant robbed this man, as the church robs us of our true identity, our true essence, our true energy. Spirit dropped something on me this morning when I got here. Spirit said, your physical person is in love with your spirit, and your spirit is in love with your physical person. Because the physical actually emanates or comes out of the spiritual. And it's right here in the same book we all read. It says, we believe that those things which are seen came from those things which are unseen. So if my physical person is actually growing out of my spirit, how could they be at contention with each other? As the traditional theology says, that your spirit is at war with your flesh. And I thought, man, God put us in a predicament. You know, put us down here, and you're going to make something so close to me be at war with me? Like sleeping with the enemy every night. So here in this story, he talks about the Levite and the priest passing on the other side, those who we would have thought would have helped. And even with the traditional theology, we somehow believe that if we believe that we're negative and that we can be made positive, that that's a help. And I don't see it, because what I jokingly say this, we go to church every Sunday and we get saved every Sunday because they kind of put you in the place right back in your sinful place. You know you're a sinner. You know you're this. And even I looked at the words in the Amazing Grace that's here in the chapel. It doesn't say saved a wretch like me. It says saved a soul like me. And I sing that when I'm at my home church and folks kind of look at me like, doesn't he know the words? I'm like, yes, I do. I know the right words. So we have this wonderful creation. God put us here. We emanated out of the spirit realm. This wonderful body that, you know, sometimes we have challenges. And Spirit even told me this morning that the challenges that we have in the physical realm is a way that the physical part of us is really loving us because it gives a little resistance. So what? We need a little resistance. All of us sat down in our chairs, and we are thankful that they are resisting us from going through the floor down into the fellowship hall. We can be thankful for resistance, and what we have to do as we were reading in the Metaphysical Principles, we learn the laws of the physical part, and then we're able to operate in harmony. And wouldn't it be so nice if everybody knew that we are really here, created in harmony, made in love, emanated from the spirit, the pure essence of all that is good, and we have this light shining within us, and all we have to do is open up and allow that light to shine forth, and all of the things that are like topsy-turvy would just level out and be so sweet. And we're right now in this time with the presidential election. As Reverend Connie and I were joking this morning, we're experiencing the contrast. We're being shown one of our most hideous practices when it comes to being in a physical existence. We are getting a view of energy that is totally upside down. And for those of us that are spiritual, we're challenged to still love them. Woo, we should be really strong after this one. We are challenged to love them in spite of, aside from, through it. We have to love them through it. And even though they're expressing discontent, we understand that it's energy that's out of order, and they have somehow, and as we have sometimes we have also believed that things were against us, or this system was against us, and this thing is working against us, and really it became a projection of what we had inside. So people are taught that, you know, and that was one of the things with the church teaching us, that we were negative, and then we projected it onto everybody else. So if I'm a sinner, you're a sinner too, and if I can figure out that your dirt is worse than my dirt, I feel better about myself. And until the light shines on it, the wheel will just keep turning. But for those of us that have been enlightened, this is our opportunity to shine. This is our opportunity to come forth with unconditional love as we have been created in, and we're able to express a level of love and understanding and empathy and sympathy, sometimes having to cry, sometimes having to laugh. Some of it is hilarious, but some of it is very sad. But we get a chance to express all of these expressions in love. The community of self. Because what I realize is that Donald Trump is me. We're all a part of one mind. So if somewhere in my being, I have a Donald Trump. And he's not by himself. He has a whole lot of followers. And somewhere in me, I have to find him and heal him. Because he's rising up for us to see. Not to come against us, not to actually become the president. I don't think he even believes he's going to actually become the president. And so what he's doing is showing us our neighbors. These are the people that we share time and space. We share a country with. We share job space. We share grocery store space, hospital space, church space. He's showing us the people that are around us and those that are disgruntled. And they're not the only ones. It's just for that, the cause of taking America back. I don't know where we're going back to. I know for me, we don't need to go that far back. if, anything, we need to go forward. This community of self, we have the opportunity to express this love. And Jesus, in this passage, shows how one that was very unlikely to have displayed loving behavior and helping behavior was the one who actually did it. And that's very key to us, because now, and I know in our setting, we don't judge a book by its cover. I'm looking for an amen on that. We don't judge a book by its cover, because everyone is beautiful. And when we look, there's a song that they sing in the traditional Christian religion, and it's called "The Jesus in Me Sees the Jesus in You." The Jesus in me sees the Jesus in you. How easy, so easy, easy to love. And I'm like, wow, if they need to make that the Hallmark song, that needs to be the theme for the next year, so that they can get over the fact that you're a sinner and I'm a sinner. No, I'm not looking for the sinner. I'm looking for the God. The God in me sees the God in you. That makes it so much easier, because when we come together and we focus on our positives and we focus on our common points, then we're able to build. And anything that we have that's different or negative or whatever, once we start building together, most people will see themselves and go, wow, you know, that thing that I was thinking, I need to abandon that and let that go. And I'm hoping that it looks like what's happening now, and I'm going to go back to Donald Trump for a second, with his campaign trail. Now people are starting to rise up and say, nope, we're not having it. And it looks a little violent from time to time, and it looks a little chaotic, but I'm thankful that people are standing up saying, this is not who we are. This is not who we want representing us. We are a community of people, black, brown, red, yellow, orange, green, purple, pink, whatever the color, whatever the nationality, whatever your religion. There are two things that we, and we'll end here, we'll go back to what Jesus said at the beginning. Love God with all your heart, all your might, all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I used to always ask the question, when did he tell me to love myself? When he told you to love God, because you are an emanation of God. Love you, love me, and we will get along as one big happy family. Thank you.